Welcome to the Late Late Capitalism Show.
We've got a very important issue and a very difficult one. Content warning.
And a content warning.
Just because, not just in terms of swearing, but this is quite a heavy topic. We are also going to be talking about some historical abuses of Aboriginal people, one of which occurred in 1996. And obviously there's a very sordid history of that in general here in Canada. This is going to be a bit of a heavier episode. We do have some other good stuff coming out around the same time that's a little more lighthearted, but this one is important for a multitude of reasons, and if you're going to listen to anything, this is probably the one to listen to. We should also disclose that none of the three of us are First Nations people. We do not claim to be experts, but we do still want to try and have a discussion about what's going on, and we do feel this is incredibly important and incredibly timely. Yeah. So hopefully you bear with us. Yeah. Hopefully you find something from this that's very helpful. And most importantly, in terms of what we're trying to do, you just start to educate yourself on what exactly is going on right now and what has been going on for, hundreds of years.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, but it's Dean, Jesse, and Megan on the pod.
And Megan's, I think, going to be kind of leading, taking the reins on this one, because she's the smartest of the three of us by a country mile.
And the least canceled.
Yeah, that's certainly true.
So, if you've been following Canadian news at all, and your head's not under a rock, you probably have heard something about the Wet'suwet'en people, which is a First Nation and sort of land area in general in BC, and currently they are defending their land from Coastal GasLink, which is a pipeline that the government of Canada bought. Thanks for that. Yeah. Or is that the Trans Mountain and they didn't buy Coastal GasLink yet?
As I understood, like, they bought Trans Mountain, but that went belly up somehow. Mm. Like, they just, like, Trudeau, like,
how
is so stupid
how
that
do you
he can't
run an oil company into the ground? Literally, like, the most moneyed industry.
Yeah.
Fucking it's idiots.
Like, oil industry is also, like, really, really propped up by
my God. Yeah. It has to be.
But, so the Coastal GasLink pipeline is supposed to go through their territory, which is, like, Yinta is the name of land in their language, so that's what people in general have been calling it. And what I want to say first is that, like, we're not going to call them protesters or, like, activists, because they're not. They're just, like, living on their land and protecting their own land.
They are being invaded.
Yeah.
Like, no, let's not mince words. This is literally like a colonial invasion.
They're protesters in the same way I'm a protester when Jesse breaks into my house at 3 in the morning.
To play Smash.
To play Smash Brothers. Just pissed drunk screaming.
Yeah. And
I'm not protesting. I am defending myself.
And I've got about the same amount of tact as the RCMP does.
Yeah.
And so the Wet'suwet'en people have set up numerous checkpoints throughout their territory, basically just like deciding which vehicles get to pass through like one of the main roads. Mm-hmm. And the Coastal GasLink people obviously do not like this. And so this week, we're recording this on February 9th. I'm not sure exactly when it will air. The RCMP has like increased surveillance 1,000% and is like flying over their territory in helicopters, has set up, there's a town nearby called Houston, BC, I'm pretty sure. It's a Texas one. I'm pretty sure it's Houston. Ah. And so they've like taken over community centers there and are having like an RCMP base. And then as of this weekend, it's currently Sunday, I think like between 5 and 15 people. I think it's maybe around 11, but it could be more of that because I haven't checked the news in a couple hours, have been arrested.
Yeah, yes, I believe it was 11 last I checked.
Yeah.
Like, I was reading, there was a raid on the camp that they've set up to block this road on Friday.
Mm-hmm. There's multiple camps, so they've been going one by one down
checkpoint,
the road. Yeah.
But like they've gone in, and the RCMP have like sent helicopters ahead and dropped like cops down into the bush.
Yeah.
So they could surround the camp.
Yeah.
And like one raid involved a bulldozer.
Mm-hmm. They bring bulldozers on so much. Like a couple years ago, I believe it was like probably 2 years ago now when this was sort of first gathering media attention.
Right.
One of the problems was that so the Wet'suwet'en people weren't letting surveyors in to come and look at the land to even determine the pipeline route because, like, fair, it's their land.
Yeah.
And they were defending their land for a while. And then eventually they were having so many issues with the RCMP that they did let the surveyors come in. And this was like last year or like 2018 maybe. And then as soon as they let the surveyors in, they brought bulldozers and like drove over sacred burial sites and everything with bulldozers and like fucked up the forest and everything. And then so basically when they had let those surveyors come in, they said, this is not us allowing the pipeline to be built at all. Like, we're still going to keep our camps. And they did. And now they want to come in and start construction. And so the Wet'suwet'en people have said, no, like, we never said that you could start construction. We let you in last time because it was like they were so threatened with arrest. Yeah. But then obviously this time they're not giving up because that would be like actually giving up to
it'd be over
development.
You
so
can't
then
give them anymore.
Yeah. So that's sort of what the problem
now,
we're at.
Should
now
we
is.
Back up a bit? Because I've read that there's two like different sets of government.
Yeah.
In this area?
So that's a big part of the government's argument, is that the elected council of the Wet'suwet'en peoples, like various councils, have agreed to the pipeline. However, the hereditary chiefs, which is sort of the actual government of the area, has all five of them, which is all five different like groups or nations of the Wet'suwet'en, have all said no. And just a bit of the background on like elected councils versus hereditary chiefs or hereditary, like any form of government, because it varies nation to nation. The Canadian government like doesn't let Indigenous people govern themselves at all in the way that they want to.
There's no self-governance.
So the Section 74 of the Indian Act basically says that Canada can make them govern themselves in the way that Canada wants them to. So, for example, like I found an article that was talking about in 2010, the Algonquins of Barrier Lake, the government like wanted to develop on their land and they said no. And they basically, this is obviously paraphrasing, but there's a good article about it by Crosby and Monaghan, if you want to look it up. But basically said, screw you, your government doesn't count. And then forced a new election, but because the people didn't want a new election and there was so much backlash to it, they just got people to write in names as nominations to the government, and then so they only got four submissions for four names, and then that is now the government in Canada's eyes of this First Nation, for example. So then that's, I don't know the specifics of what's happened with the various Wet'suwet'en ones. Like some of them could have been genuinely elected by the people, like in a way that Canada kind of likes, or like they could have just been like fully elected by the people and Canada had no say, or they could just be like fully put in by Canada with no consent from the people at all. I don't know.
But that's the
kind of difference that we're looking at in terms of a like Canadian recognized council and then hereditary chiefs.
And it's hard to believe that these like federally recognized leaders actually like represent the people when the people are out there like defending their own land.
It's important to remember what Megan said as well, that even if there is an election free from Canadian interference for these roles, they can still throw it out.
It doesn't matter.
There is no way you can win this by following that system that's been set in place by Canada because they
completely
have
corrupt.
This is literally South America, like 1960s style stuff, where you have these corrupt regimes being propped up by a larger power.
Yeah.
Like,
and also, for
these
the
are
record,
bloodless coups, but they are still coups.
Yeah. Also, for the record, like the same things that like the libs make fun of South America for, like, oh, look at like they can't run
a
democracy.
Look at how Venezuela operates.
Yeah. Oh, it's so crooked and corrupt. Like they just like decide who wins elections when like they do the exact same thing on Indigenous territory all the time.
All the time.
And face no repercussions.
It's a petri dish for the way that just global evil has taken place. Like, so much of global misery has been first done to Aboriginal people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's insane. Hitler straight up was, like, inspired by how the American people treated their Native Americans.
Yeah.
For when he was designing the systematic elimination. That was an inspirational thing for him. It is not, like, a far stretch to say that a lot of the horror and the genocide that we've seen in this world was practiced first on the Indigenous people
and
perfected.
And continues to be.
Unbelievable.
I want to kind of touch on, again, like, the way things are represented to the general Canadian population about these issues. Just as a background, like, this land is not ceded at all and no treaty was ever signed.
I had no idea.
Not Canada. Like, it's not Canada. But, so basically, and what this article about the Algonquins of Barrier Lake was also talking about is that the framing of the way that these people are defending their land becomes like it literally the government terms it as like Aboriginal extremism, and they get put on like CSIS watch lists and are basically like, these are possible terrorists because they're mad at us because like we keep invading their land.
But again, like, not domestic terrorism at all.
No,
it is not. And like, this is something that like I didn't understand until recently. It's not Canada. Like, The Wet'suwet'en, like, territory has never been seen.
Yeah. No.
Like, Canada thinks it's Canada.
Yeah, obviously. But it's not.
But it's not. It's That's so cool.
It's as much Canada as fucking, like, South Africa is Canada.
Yeah.
This is not a recognized part of our country.
Yeah.
They have never given this up.
Yeah, but about the framing, like, so I've seen online even today, like, as of February 9th, the RCMP is trying to imply that, like, people were spiking the roads, that the RCMP vehicles are going to get nailed in them or something, and then all the people who are actually on site and fighting are saying, like, why would we do that? Yeah. We're driving our cars over the roads, too. Like, that wasn't us. You guys are literally just, taking pictures of these, like, nails and trucks,
did you see
tires.
The image of, like, who was actually at these... It's, like, a woman and her child. This is what they called snipers for. And that's such a cop thing to do.
Oh, I know,
like, this is Starbucks again, like, on steroids.
Like, it's, like... How many people, like, blocking a road or what have you, and you have to bring helicopters and a bulldozer?
Yeah.
When I went to the Wet'suwet'en Starbucks...
Well, they're armed, too. They're bringing these, like, giant guns in against just, like, people who are, like... Ugh.
They wrote Turtle Island on my cup, but then implied that the island was my ass and it was the size of the planet because it is so huge. This is why that I have requested, using my 5-kill streak, to send in a predator drone to the Wet'suwet'en people. This is how we are defending our land that is their land, but it's actually our land. And this is why I am
And also, it's
a hero.
It's just for an oil company,
that's
not
right.
defending
now,
anything.
This oil company is freedom, and the Wet'suwet'en people are Iraq. And I wasn't allowed to go to Iraq because I failed the physical. And also because I am not American, and we voted not to go there. But look, I went across the border, and I said, hey, man, you got to send me over there. And they said, sir, you got to check your rascal scooter. Like, you have to declare that when you cross the border. It's worth over $5,000. And I said, look, man, I'm going to go join the RCMP, and I'm going to make a difference in my community. And that's essentially what it is.
And it took 3 or 4 men, but they did get him on top of a horse.
That's the thing. They had, you know, like, they have to climb the rope obstacle to pass the physical. That's the thing. They got, like, 30, 40, 50, like, stage risers. They got, like, jacks for cars. And, hey, they got him up on top of that rope wall. And that's, you know what? That's bravery.
And do you know what?
Bravery is overcoming your 17th bypass to shoot an unarmed indigenous woman. That's bravery. Sorry, we're not making fun of this, but, like, it is such a disgusting fucking brain that thinks that you are the hero in this situation.
Oh my God.
Wearing your full riot gear to intimidate women, children,
free-spirited
people, families on their land, families that just want to have clean drinking water. You know how many reserves have fucking clean drinking water?
Yeah, but also, like, they're protecting... land so that the fucking planet can live. Like, indigenous people protect something like 60-80% of all the Earth's biodiversity.
It's incredible.
Literally, I think it's closer to 80.
This is a war for, like, the future of our fucking planet.
Yeah.
And it is being fought by, on one side, unarmed, peaceful protesters. Sorry, not even protesters. Peaceful residents of the land.
Yeah.
People
who
have lived there their entire lives. People who have never surrendered their claim to this.
Yeah.
And on the other side, you have fucking cardio, fucking triple bypass cops wearing riot gear, wanting to cosplay Call of Duty, wanting to use the Gears of War chainsaw.
Who believe in nothing.
Who believe in nothing.
And care about nothing.
You are funded by oil. You are funded by blood money. How can you think you're a hero? How can you think that? How can you... Yeah. I mean, most of them can't look in the mirror because they can't fucking see beneath their chin. So there's nothing to see when they look back at there. But if they see their eyes, it's hollow. There's nothing there. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, there's been... Oh, you go.
Yeah, I just wanted to say another thing about, like, the unceded territory is... And as far as, like, I have come to understand based on what I've been reading about this, is that, like, legally... that territory remains unceded and in their control so long as they remain there.
Yeah, and then
they continue...
the RCMP is trying to
remove them.
To violate.
So, like, the only, like, legal claim and, like, the only thing that they, like, these people have to keep their land is to remain on their land.
No matter what.
Permanently. And then the government just comes, ships you out of there, and says, like, oh, you're not here anymore.
Yep, they'll arrest you, they'll kill you. They don't care.
The Canadian government has also broken its own laws regarding what counts as indigenous territories, like, multiple times in doing this. They literally, there's so many Supreme Court cases where it was ruled, like, this certain thing about who gets to be on the territory and when, and then Canada's just like, that wasn't real because we don't want it now. Well, like,
and it's because we treat these people as second-class citizens.
Yeah.
There is such a popular belief in Canada from our age and older that we live in like a post-racial society, or that we don't have the same levels of racial divide in this country. Mm. Why don't you ask someone on the street what their opinion of an Indigenous person is? And why don't you watch as the gears turn in their head and they parrot and spit the same shit that has been spit and parroted for years before, that they're drunk, they don't want to work, they can't get a job. Why don't you take that belief in the post-racial or a more just society and ask why 42% of the fucking prison population is Indigenous?
And these are the same people who will turn to you like the next day with a straight face and be like, oh, I'm glad I'm not an American. Woo! Those people.
Good thing we don't have Trump.
Yeah. Yeah, we're civilized up here.
Yeah, like, look, yeah, our prime minister wore blackface once.
Wait, no, he did it twice. Yeah.
All right, it might have been three times. But here's the thing.
Wait, we don't know how many times.
Look, it wasn't blackface. He was just supporting the oil lobby, which is what keeps this country great. It wasn't grease painting put on his face. He just took some oil, and he's like, you know what, in 30 years,
triple-grade
that's right.
American
Castro
crew,
GTX. And he put that on so he could say, you know what, I'm a proud defender of oil rights. And sure enough, do you remember when Trudeau was running for prime minister and he was explicit in saying that the future of the planet was at stake and that there would be no
pipelines? And he walked in so many
goddamn
fucking climate marches.
No, it's fine. He wore his socks. It's nice. He wore pink socks to a climate march and he said, yeah, this is great.
I got a lot of photos.
Hey, I like what you kids are doing here. He claps him on the back. Yeah. You guys, this is dynamite. Yeah. I like this. I like this a lot. And then he did the thing where he falls down the stairs, but he lands on his feet at the bottom and shakes the hands.
Oh, like, yeah, he does the Willy Wonka.
Daniel Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, man, what you want to do with that pipe? Great. I got just the spot for it.
Justin Trudeau wants that pipe.
Justin Trudeau.
He's looking for that pipe.
He's like, look, he's getting piped down.
Yeah.
And usually I'm like, yeah.
By Daniel Pfeiffer.
I'm like, look, man, no problem. If you want to get piped down by a guy with a perfectly symmetrical and square, smooth face.
Okay, no, we have to. Okay, Daniel Pfeiffer.
Jug ears.
Folks.
Oh.
For the uninitiated.
It's just Pfeiffer, guys.
No,
but
it is.
Funnier if we say
Pfeiffer.
I refuse to pronounce his name properly.
Yeah. But Daniel Pfeiffer, for the uninitiated, is the president of Coastal GasLink.
Why don't you describe what his face looks like?
Yeah, I wish
us.
I looked
tall forehead.
Yeah, so his forehead is perfectly rectangular.
Yep.
And he's got a wave of hair.
If you're familiar with Hammerhead, the Spider-Man villain, who had a steel plate put into his head so his headbutts powerful, this man is Hammerhead. He has an enormous frog mouth.
There's a nice chest hair coming out in this photo too. He's also got ears that look like handles for a teapot.
Yeah, for a Gresham urn.
Big nose, and yes, he does have some of the fattest DSLs I've ever seen.
Insane.
These are dick sucking lips.
This is not a critique of him.
This isn't homophobic. I am just saying, as someone who also is jealous of DSLs and wishes he had them, I'm this guy has massive honkers right there.
He could fit 2 to 3 pool balls in his mouth.
Yeah,
I'm not joking.
He could do he's Jim Carrey the mask levels of facial disfigurement here.
Yeah.
It is insane. He's got a little rounded chin, and he's got the most smug look on his face I have ever seen.
Yeah.
I
don't know if you've read any of his stuff, but literally every statement he's ever made is talking about how he loves working with First Nations and Indigenous people. And he just hopes for their cooperation all the time, and he's always looking to make them money. That's his big thing.
Yeah.
Is we're going to bring wealth to these communities.
Yeah. Don't make me hurt you. Just go along with it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have anything else to say about him except he's an exceptionally ugly man.
Yeah, he is look, man, you with all that money, you should be able to fix your fit. Get plastic surgery.
Buy a tie.
Look, I'm not a body shaming guy, but if you're in charge of an oil company and you're ugly, what the fuck?
honestly.
What? you could take somebody and have your forehead. You could take some of that skin, move it down to your biceps. If this guy did that, he'd look like those synthol Russian bodybuilders, where his arms are touching. Mm. He's clipping through his body with his massive fucking biceps. That is what he could do. He could take some of the volume from his lips and pump his quads to the size of it would look like one of those inflatable pool ducks that you could ride in. He could take all the synthol.
He would look those Halloween costumes of buff dudes where they're just foam padding everywhere?
Or the sumo suits. His quads could look, dude, here's the... All right, Danny. 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 David.
My name's David.
Yeah, whatever. Look, David, if you're listening, here's the deal.
I know he's listening.
He's the only person that listens because he loves
this is
hearing
just for
this.
You now, David.
He's a little piggy. He loves hearing me insult him. All right, David, here's the deal. I will make you a promise. If you give up on this fucking illegal, horrible invasion, I will help you get in touch with a plastic surgeon. I will make you a pog. I will turn you into such a baddie. Instagram followers.
Oh, God.
Social media interaction.
Yeah.
You can be with any Trinity Lion Skip. I'll offer you that. You can come to the club. You can hang out with the 21-year-old devs.
Majors. I like the idea of David Pfeiffer becoming like a TikTok teen.
Yeah.
And just like countless followers.
He's dancing to the Wii shopping music.
He gets a deal with like all these makeup companies.
Yeah. You could have Anastasia. You could be a Lulu. Oh my. Okay.
He dates Ariana Grande.
Suck the fucking. Look, take the stuff out of his lips, inject it into his ass, pog, done. Lululemon.
Oh my God.
Bust it. Look.
Easy. This is so easy.
David Pfeiffer, if he gets bimboed up, he can be making me beat my shit like a freak. I'm telling you that right now. That is the only thing. Like, you have such
the
a potential.
The choice is yours, David.
Look, if you want this, David, end your illegal war on Canada's Aboriginal
end
people.
End the invasion.
I'm sorry that we got taken off track.
We
needed a little bit of levity. We were one of us is taking the black pill.
Yeah,
and it was me.
Megan North, do you have something interesting to say?
Yeah, I do have a bit more. So the Hereditary Chiefs actually proposed a separate path for this pipeline, just so that we're aware they're not like anti-pipeline protesters. I'm sure there are lots of Wet'suwet'en people that don't want the pipeline built, as in there are lots of Canadians that don't want this pipeline
built.
Yeah,
they tried to compromise.
But they literally were like, hey, there's other areas that are less culturally significant to us, and the words they used were like ecologically pristine, because it's obviously like this crazy, beautiful, protected area.
Unceded, untouched.
Yeah, and they were like, maybe move it there, and then the company, whatever this David Pfeiffer man runs, was like, we're
Coastal
actually
gas
okay
link.
If
Coastal
we could
gas
not
link.
Do that. So that's where we're sort of at right now. But there's been really cool mobilization across Canada from different communities to sort of stand in solidarity. So it's like huge in Vancouver and Victoria. There's a bunch of Indigenous teens that have like locked themselves to the BC legislature in Victoria,
so
which
cool.
is really cool.
That rules.
Yeah, and they like started a sacred fire there, which is like so we're aware, a controlled like safe fire.
Yeah.
And the media's been like, they're starting fires at the legislature. But anyway, so that's been really cool. Locally, Tyendinaga, weekend,
that
rules. Parked a very big car beside the train tracks, and it wasn't
so
on
very
the train
long
tracks,
car.
But the
they drove it a little bit into the water.
Hey, Mac. Here's the deal. No, they did disrupt train
service.
But
so trains can't pass if a car is that close
to the track.
They're
continuing to do that.
I just love that you called it a big car.
It was
like,
a big car.
Isn't
it
just
a big truck.
Truck?
You know.
A truck is a big
here's
car.
The deal.
I know how big cars are supposed to be. That's bigger than that.
My Ford F-150 big car.
Yeah. But anyways, they did that. That was really cool. CTV is a trash organization and called.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it was basically like, oh no, it's so sad for train riders that they have to wait a long time to get their train.
Will no one think of the train rider?
But they called. Wait, I found. One second.
Daddy's fancy lad must wait 25 more minutes.
Oh, they called like the Wet'suwet'en lands a pipeline work site near Houston, BC.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Jesus Christ!
What?
Yeah, so that was fun. Screw you, CTV.
I was talking to someone today who said that an injunction was just placed on the Tyendinaga folks for blocking the rails.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll have to see how that works out, but.
The rail blockage has continued. A bunch of citizens from Kingston went out today and blocked it longer. So apparently the trains have been stopped for like 2 full days now, which is very cool because we're in the busiest corridor of train traffic in Canada. And any stoppage is big money lost.
Yeah.
If
you're unfamiliar, Kingston is essentially a perfect nexus point between like Ottawa, Toronto, and Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're right smack dab in the middle.
You cannot travel to any of those three massive areas without at least passing through Kingston.
Yeah.
And it is incredible the work they're doing. Without exaggeration, all of these land defenders are so much braver than any troop.
Yeah.
Like, this any is, okay. of them.
I think we should make this, like, a part of the show, like a section where we just state a person who's better braver than the troops.
Why? Because we're in a city where everyone is part of the military.
Yeah.
Yeah. And many of them are
cowards.
Not as brave.
Are cowards. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, so last week it was scientists,
yeah.
And this God, week, yeah. of course,
it's
these land defenders.
Easily.
Heck yeah.
Like, intense, like without, like, romanticizing.
Yes.
Which I am afraid, it's tough not to do, because it's just so inspiring, these people who are fighting for their heritage and their homeland. Mm. And doing everything that they need in order to, like, just protect what they have left.
Right.
Yeah, it just...
It's also incredible that they've just not ceded this.
Yeah.
Hundreds of years of oppression and pressure.
Mm-hmm.
That alone is remarkable. That is generations of struggle. That's... They have been fighting a colonial force. And by fighting, we mean, obviously, they're not out there. CTV, don't try and say they're violent because you heard a very dumb man say that this is a fight.
Yeah, they're
These are peaceful protests.
They're also doing, like, such cool shit. Like, they're building healing lodges, like, on this land. That was part of why the original blockade was set up, is because they have this really cool lodge they're building.
Yes.
That's like a healing center. And it's really cool. So, anyway, they are doing beautiful things with the land, too. And also, like, they should be able to do whatever the fuck they want on the land.
Yeah, because it's theirs.
But,
it is... Even though legality does not matter because they are not a part of Canada, this is their... They are the people that have been here before we have been here.
Mm.
But even from that standpoint, they are legally entitled to that land. So you're even breaking your own rules, as you alluded to, to try and
Canada
fuck
breaks its own
these
laws
people
constantly.
Over. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a completely... It's a fail. We're on the path to being a failed state. Like, Canada is... We're about 5 years behind the curve. But, like, yeah, Britain's falling apart. The U.S. is... obviously falling apart.
Yeah.
We're 5 years behind the curve, but this is like the beginning of those cracks starting to form.
Land back.
Woo.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Also, come to these protests because they're really fun. Yeah. And there was free brownies today, so.
That's nice.
Party.
But, if we were closing up, I don't know, do we have anything?
That was sort of the content I had.
I would say that, like, there is precedent for this. These have been ongoing battles for.
And there's so many more than just Wet'suwet'en as well.
Exactly.
Like,
one I'm going to mention briefly, and I encourage people to look up, is the Ipperwash crisis, which occurred near Stony Creek, Ontario. Ipperwash Provincial Park is native land, as everything is. But specifically, this was native land. There was a group of protesters. I believe this was the summer of 1996. I'm just going to double check my facts here. They cut a fence, broke into the park, parked their vehicles on the land that they own, and they were essentially just doing a sit-in. And at the time, this was 1995, the Premier of Ontario, Mike Harris, told the OPP that were overseeing this land protest, "I want the fucking Indians out of the park."
Wow. What year was this?
1995.
Wow.
And you know what happened during this?
Why do I know that guy's name, too?
Mike Harris was mentioned because he was used as a cudgel to try and beat Doug Ford down of, like, oh, last time we had a premier like this, it was Mike Harris.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Which is, Mike Harris fucking sucks.
Complete scumbag.
Oh, and if that quote doesn't tell you alone, it's ridiculous. There was this standoff in the park with the Aboriginal protesters who were not attacking the police at all. They were sitting there in their cars. The police were trying to violently arrest them. We were talking riot cops here.
Yeah.
And during the Labor Day of 1995, there was this kind of protest going on. The protest began to escalate, of course. The OPP were concerned about a group of protesters who had wandered outside the park and into a parking lot adjacent to some cottages. Wow, what a surprise. The situation escalates once they start encroaching on rich person's
literally
cottage
cottages
property.
Is like the number one when there's land
there's
issues
conflict,
it's literally cottagers because they like live in obviously like rural places and are rich and have the defenses to like be like, this is my land, like I paid for this cottage so my grandpa could be happy. And it's
a,
like, okay.
A rumor started at this time that the protesters
bought this cottage to save our marriage and it's not working.
I don't know what will. The protesters, there was a rumor that the protesters had smashed up a car, which was found to be false. Like, the OVP just thought, because there was a little bit of damage to this car, that essentially they did the E-Honda minigame and just smashed this car to bits.
Yeah, the thousand hand slap.
The OBP, out of public safety concerns, deployed the crowd management union. Crowd management unit. What a nice way to say these are our riot cops.
Tear gas.
Who showed up fully armed.
Yeah.
And one of these cops, a man with the nickname of Tex, shot and killed one of the protesters, Dudley George. He claimed that Dudley George had a rifle. This was found to be false. Of course. Although, okay, I'm gonna read you what he was given for a sentence for executing an innocent man. The judge rejected Dean's claim, stating that he admitted this as an ill-fated attempt to hide that an unarmed man had been shot. He sentenced Dean to a conditional sentence of 2 years less a day and probation and community service for shooting an unarmed innocent man.
Yeah, well, Colton Bushy's killer also got Colton off, Bushy. Like, scot-free, so
this,
it's fucked up.
These are not isolated incidents. This is a pattern that has been going on for hundreds of years in this country, and really in most countries with an indigenous population. Australia, for example, who literally sent the Aborigine people to live on, like, nuclear test sites.
Yeah, we do that, too.
We absolutely do that.
Land back.
Here's the thing. Hose mad, CTV being the hose.
Yeah.
And land back, which is... There is nothing we can do to right the generations of historical wrongs that have been committed. But there are some things we can do to at least try and award these people their way of life back.
Stand in solidarity
with
the land defenders.
These
across
people,
the country.
Across the world.
Yeah.
This is a systemic problem.
Yeah.
This is white supremacy. This is colonialism. This is imperialism.
And capitalism.
Yeah. This is blatant, disgusting,
every ism
craven
come to hate.
Fucking capitalism. Yeah. And we tell your friends, these fucking gaslink people should not know peace.
Yeah.
You should be
slime of the earth.
Call your MPs. Call the gaslink people themselves. This information is readily available.
Yeah, what's his face's phone number?
You can find
again,
it online.
Like, as I am wont to do, whenever we talk about politics and business people, and just like, again, these like wretched, horrid goblins who populate this country.
Yeah.
Is
it worshippers of Moloch.
Yeah. It is always good to be mean to them.
Yeah.
To make fun of them online.
Oh my god.
To let other people know that they are demonic.
Send David Pfeiffer that 3 minute clip of me talking about how ugly he is.
Like, that's as nice as I'm willing to be to David.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff we can't say that'll get my, because my phone's listening and they'll like, they'll ping me and, you know, it's a whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. And it's also everything that we say is always parody.
Oh, nice recipe.
But number one thing that you can do is standing in solidarity with the Wet'suwet'en people.
And all indigenous people.
And all indigenous people. Go to these road blockages and railway blockages that are happening.
Bring them supplies.
Bring them supplies.
Join in if you feel comfortable with it.
Exactly.
Show your support.
Because, like, just putting, like, even your finger on the sail slightly against the economy, and these people crumble.
Yep.
Like, as soon as you threaten their bottom line,
cowards.
They're done. They will pack up their bag and go home.
That's the thing. You are dealing with people that have hundreds of years of conditioned anti-authority sentiment. You are not going to beat them by playing fair. You cannot defeat the Wet'suwet'en people by playing by a fair rule set. The only way that the land defenders can lose is why the Canadian government cheating them.
Yeah.
And cheating them to an absurd degree.
Yeah.
Ultimately, what we've got is we've got a very clear example of good versus evil and the future of the planet versus the completely short-sighted, and not even short-sighted, like ignorant and intentionally spiteful policies of today.
Just death
there
call.
Was a woman that came to the park today and was was like, oh, jobs.
Pro-pipeline.
So, yeah.
And I was like, I asked some of the protest goers this, like, do you think she was paid to do this, or is she just that black-pilled? She's like, yeah, fossil fuels, fucking
yeah,
cool,
I can't decide if that was, like, her job, or she just, like, wanted to come out and be like, I like oil. Like,
here's the thing. Conservatives don't have, like, actual beliefs that aren't fucking paid for. So I'm going to go ahead and say she probably got a check from, you know, some oil tycoon or like, I don't know. What's the name of the...
From David Pfeiffer.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, no. How deep is this? Play the True Detective music.
Yeah, but I hope that she had a good time standing out in the cold by herself.
Getting yelled at.
Yelling at, like, children playing hockey.
You guys missed this, but when she first showed up, there was an older guy who was smoking a spliff, who was, like, a part of the protest, and he just started laughing in her face, like, cackling, like, 5 inches away from her, and he's, like, taller than her, just going, like, ha, ha, ha.
King.
Yeah, that guy, oh.
King shit.
He, like, stood in front of her and just, like, turned his back to her and kept, like, mirroring her, so whenever she tried to, like, speak... It was so cool. I was like, this guy rules. Shout out to that guy.
Yeah.
That's the kind of, look, the Dudes Rock movement needs to support the Land Defenders.
Yeah.
So
no.
If you're a Dudes Rock
guy. If you're
a
dude worth your salt, like, you're at these protests.
Because we already know the ladies love
the land. Yeah, the ladies are there.
The ladies love the land. And actually, one of the cool things that one of the speakers talked about, I think this is before you guys got here as well, is she talked about how, like, misogyny is a European creation because in the First Nations... Like, women had, if not an equal social standing, they were cultural leaders.
Matriarchs.
I had never thought about it like that. And I was like, that is such a fascinating and interesting take. Also, the fact that, like, yeah, there were two-spirited people documented in Aboriginal cultures who were considered to be, like, cultural and spiritual, like, touchstones.
Yeah.
It's like, a lot of the bad shit that we rally against, it's like, these people have been rallying against that before we even knew what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I'm always, like, fascinated and heartened whenever I, like, listen to Indigenous speakers.
Oh.
Because I always learn so much that,
absolutely.
Like, I, like, would have never occurred to me, like, the ideas that they have.
Never
because we're, like,
about
specifically
that.
Never told these ideas.
It was one of those mind-blowing things where I was like, holy shit,
right?
She is right, objectively correct.
And it just opens up so many more doors of, like, thought and, like, how you can organize people and think about the world.
All right. Is there anything else we want to add before we sign off for this one?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good, too.
Our system is not the only way that people can live and organize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. And, just please be mean to David Pfeiffer.
Oh, man. Or any, please. Anybody that's pro-pipeline.
Yeah.
Go nuts. You have my express permission.
Mm-hmm. You have our blessing.
We're really, really pulling for our Land Defender, kings, queens, and everything above and beyond that. So good luck.
Thank you.
Hopefully you win.
Yeah.
You will win.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to a special edition to the Late Late Capitalism show.
And just a content warning, there's going to be swear words.
There's going to be swear words, as is we are wont to do on our show. But we're actually phoning
in
to...
We have a special guest, John.
We're phoning into Moscow for our special guest and premier Canadian author, Jordan Peterson. How are you, Dr. Peterson,
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you fine.
You can hear me?
Yep.
Oh, hello. How are you today?
Oh, we're very good. Very happy to have you on the show. We were hoping to ask how you've been, because we over on this side of the world haven't heard from you much in the past year, and just wondering, like, what's going on?
Yes, it's been a rough couple months. As you know, I released my fourth book, Dragons and Where to Find Them.
Right, yes, I know, I saw
sorry,
that.
Sorry, was something funny about that?
No.
This is a serious work.
I'm sorry.
So the essential crux of this work is that your life is constantly plagued. Have you ever played the game Skyrim?
I have, yes, Elder Scrolls game.
You're aware that there are several dragons that...
There are, yeah.
That try to deprive your rights as the individual.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, I get very emotional thinking about this.
I'm sorry. We don't have to talk about it if it's too hard.
The crux of the book is that you are the Dragonborn, so you're trying to improve your situation. And the book begins with you at a metaphorical execution. And then on the cart with you, there are several people, and you have to choose which path you want to take.
Okay.
Do you want to follow the path of the Imperialists and give in to the will of the dragons? Or do you want to join the cat people and attempt to fight the dragons?
Are those are so in your book you just describe The plot of Skyrim?
Of what?
Oh, okay, well, moving on. We've heard, your daughter Michaela did a little YouTube update about your situation, and you're in Russia right now. You're in Moscow.
That's right. So, about a year ago, Michaela, my wonderful daughter, she's a nutritionist. She introduced me to a new method of eating.
Right.
Which is, we call it the no vegetable diet. You eat only beef and red meat. Sometimes you cook it.
Wow.
Sometimes you do it in a tartare style. But either way, you eat nothing but red meat.
Is that super healthy? I've heard, like, generally people try to eat a lot of vegetables in diet.
Here's the thing. Vegetables, and I'm speaking from personal experience, vegetables are a creation of women. When I was a child, my mother tried to make me eat broccoli.
Yeah.
And I told her, I said, Mother, I don't want to eat the broccoli. I told her this. And she said, well, if you don't eat the broccoli, you'll never grow up to be strong. And from that moment onwards, I knew that she was just a dragon, and I would have to slay her.
Sorry?
And then you developed anxiety about eating any other kind of food besides beef. Is that correct?
They told me I had PTSD, and I said, yeah, potential to stack dough. And that's why I followed the path that I followed, because I knew that if I ate the broccoli, if I listened to my mother, that I wouldn't be able to accomplish them. I'm a doctor. I was able to accomplish many great things, and it's not because of vegetables. It's because I knew I had to follow the path of the individual.
Now, Dr. Peterson, there's been reports that you've been addicted to benzos, and American doctors just wouldn't treat you. Like, how did that transpire?
Here's the thing. For a period of time, I was in what was medically known as a cush coma.
Right.
Where I couldn't stop taking benzos and drinking lean. Now, a good personal friend of mine, rap artist Danny Brown, was the one who invented the term. And essentially, it's where you get so faded that you can no longer tell what is real and what is not.
So you start thinking about dragons, for instance.
Well, yes, but that's important. Just like the Oracle, I need to be able to see clearly into the future. And my future contains dragons, and my past contains benzos. And here's the thing. Now that I'm... all the doctors, they kept prescribing me different drugs, and none of them were good enough. They said, Jordan, you're addicted to benzos. We have to get you off that. And I said, no, there's nothing you can give me as good as benzo. So essentially, I'd been in rehab.
Okay.
And Michaela, she came through. She rappelled down the window like in Rainbow Six Siege.
Of course.
And she kicked down the door and she said, we're going somewhere else. We're going somewhere else. And then we rappelled out, and she threw me in the back of a car. It was actually a hearse.
Oh, what?
Well, I was legally dead.
You were dead?
Yes, legally.
Oh, my God.
But what's really died is the individual.
Now, Dr. Peterson, it's like it sounds to me what you're saying is your daughter took you from traditional American rehabilitation centers.
Technically, it was a morgue.
Technically, it was more, but they where they would sort of wean you off of the drugs until you were no longer dependent on them.
That's right.
And brought you to Russia, where they just left you cold turkey.
Yes. So what
is that not unethical? Does that not sound? Are you okay?
Here's the thing. Yes, they did. They did chain me to the bed and they just left me in a cold room. But what was important is that every 2 days they would come in with a syringe filled with black goop.
Oh.
And they would inject it into my veins. It was actually the substance from the X-Files.
Oh.
And they would coat me with it. Eventually, it formed kind of a symbiote-style suit.
Right.
And now we are able to overcome all the problems laid in our way by the Chaos Dragons. You see, I have now unbelievable power. And just try and stop me from using incorrect pronouns now. I dare you.
But... okay, all right. Well, where do you think you're going from here? I know it seems like you're carving your own destiny and that you think your future is bright. What direction do you think you're going in next?
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't been in the loop, but I did hear there's a vacancy at the top of the Conservative Party.
Yes, there is. That's are you considering running for office?
No, I'm legally not able to run. Not, like, in the sense of politically, but...
Is it because you're dead?
My veins are filled with meat.
Okay.
Have you ever played the game Super Meat Boy?
You play a lot of video games.
Yes, so it's important for me to understand the primary concerns of our young men.
Of course.
And now, many of them like to play the game, the Call of Duty.
Right.
Which is understandable because it hits on all the male needs, which is aggression and to use the gun.
Yeah.
They love to use gun.
They
love to click right trigger.
They do. They love to press F to pay respect.
And that's ultimately why men have struggled, is that the women do not press F enough.
I can see men, how you would think that.
Men created so much of society, and yet at our funeral, when they walk up, it takes them 36 minutes to complete the scene because they refuse to press F.
I can't believe that.
They completely destroyed my speed run, because as they were there, they wouldn't hit F.
Oh my god.
How are these awesome games supposed to be done quickly if they won't
press
F? How
can you explain yourself, Megan?
Sorry?
Does she refuse to press F?
It's personal, and we shouldn't probably get into it.
When you go home, I'm assuming Megan is your main squeeze.
In so many words.
Now, when you tell her about something you're passionate about, be it music, a specific band maybe, does she say, oh, you've already told me all this?
When she bothers to look up from her phone, yes, she will say that to me.
Okay, so that is very clearly a sign of male oppression. Not a male oppressing a woman, but a woman oppressing a male. This male is being oppressed.
Oh my god, really?
If you're a girl, you should just be happy your boyfriend is taking an interest in anything. So many men, especially if they're born after 1993, they have no interests.
That's true.
All they do is go online, look at socialism, eat hot chip and lie.
Yep.
And we can't let them fall into the trap of socialism. I'm sorry, it's just not a tenable system. Be realistic. Read my book about dragons. You'll understand how the world works. It's much more complex than that.
Oh my god. Thank you. Thank you for that wisdom.
You're welcome. Anyways, we'll have to go soon because they can't see me on the phone here. I'm supposed to. I was looking at pictures of pogs earlier, and it was getting the meat in my veins very, very warm.
You're referring to the 90s collectible game pogs?
No, I am referring to fat ass white girls.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
It is all I have left now.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Dr. Peterson. We really appreciate you coming to our program. And we're looking forward to your next insane rant.
Yes, if you come down to New York City and go to the main intersection, in about 2 weeks I'll be there wearing face paint standing on top of a car.
All right.
This is the rising of a new movement. I will be coming back with my symbiote suit and I will be stronger than ever. I would like to end off by saying that you should be giving me a mech so I can go to the campuses and fight the social justice warriors.
I don't think anyone's going to give you a mech anytime soon.
Why not?
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Peterson. Yeah, and good luck out there.
Thank you. All right, it's time for my shots. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario, at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples. The CFRC Podcast Network at podcast.cfrc.ca is brought to you by the generous support of the Queen's University Faculty of Engineering and Applied Sciences.